starring Robert Carlyle. A young boy kicks a football around a park in the orange haze of the setting sun. Also starring Ray Winstone and Gina McKee. And introducing Lewis McKenzie. There's only one Jimmy Grimble.
Football. DJ. Football. Racing driver. Football.
Later on, the young boy's in bed.
There's just one tiny little problem. If anyone's watching, the game just falls apart. I play like a right muppet. Performance anxiety, says in his book. Something not right with me, multi-neurons. I just call it cacking me pants. I'm a tiger. I'm a serial killer. I'm Mel Gibson's lethal weapon. I'm a Terminator. I'm nobody.
The boy, Jimmy Grimble, expertly dribbles his football through an obstacle course of junk lined up along a run-down terrace street. He kicks the ball up onto the pavement, which is strewn with soggy leaves. As he reaches down to pick it up, he notices he's being watched by an elderly woman who's looking up from the window of a basement room in a row of dilapidated houses. Jimmy runs off. Now, two people are riding along on a motorbike. They stop at a block of flats.
Jimmy!
Jimmy appears on the top floor. The woman gets off the bike and adjusts her skirt. She takes off her helmet as Jimmy approaches.
Hey! Look!
A man dressed top to toe in leathers.
All right there, kid.
Jimmy, this is my new friend, Johnny. Johnny, this is our Jimmy.
Mum, with a new boyfriend. And Nugget. A total golden Nugget. Tell me you don't fancy him. Tell me. You bloody hate bikes.
So what do you think?
You hate bikes?
I never said that. I didn't.
Genuine article, this. Harley Davidson. $8,000 that cost you. Customised.
Jimmy doesn't seem impressed.
Jimmy's into football.
Me too! Look out, Jamie! Man on!
Johnny! Careful!
Go on, down!
He's knocked Jimmy to the ground.
What?
Johnny, he's only a kid.
He's all right. You're all right, aren't you, Jamie? Sorry, love. Don't know my own strength. Tell you what, I could teach him some kung fu if you want. Take him down the dojo. Make him into the right little hard knot. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Ray? Hey?
Johnny moves his arms round in a full circle, then holds one up above his head.
Cobra, eh?
He makes a set of jaws with his two hands.
The tiger?
His fingers are like the tiger's teeth.
All right. How about this one, then?
He circles his arms again, then tickles himself under the armpits.
Orangutan. How about that cup of tea you promised, eh?
Yeah. We're going inside, love, for a cup of tea, all right?
You'll want to carry on playing for a bit, won't you, Jamie? Got your ball?
Nice shot.
A boy from one of the flats drops a water balloon on Johnny's bike. Jimmy smiles. Inside, Jimmy's mum, Donna, is lying on the sofa.
Now then, that's it, your chakra. It's just here, right? Can you feel it?
Yeah. I think I can.
Oh, it's very tense. I think you've got a bit of energy there. It's releasing.
Jimmy, come on in, love. Johnny's just, he's just leaving.
Hey, am I? Oh, yeah, right, I get it, yeah. I'll see you later, then.
Yeah.
Johnny puts on his leather coat, then turns to Jimmy and smashes his fists together as a goodbye. He has a bulldog tattooed on each hand. When Johnny's gone, Jimmy stands there staring at his mum.
He's a nice bloke. He makes me laugh.
She gazes at him for a moment.
Give us a hug.
With a melancholy expression, Jimmy leans in towards his mum for a hug.
It's Belle.
Jimmy smiles at Johnny's outburst outside. Now, he's on his way to school.
Being a city fan in the heart of a man-made jungle puts me on the endangered species list here at Greenock High School.
United!
Meet Psycho, class A nutter. No problem with his motor neurons.
Another boy's kissing a girl at the school gates.
Gordon Burler. Gorgeous Gordon Burler. That's what all the girls call him. I call him whatever it takes to avoid a good kicking.
Gordon and Psycho watch as a teacher approaches the gates.
Look at him.
Right, Widow. How are you doing, mate?
Fine, thanks.
It's not what we heard.
No.
Dad says Governor's got their eye out for another PE teacher.
Eric Wirral ignores Gordon.
I'm not arsey finished.
Yeah. You have a nice day, Mr. Widow. Remember, smile, and your will smiles with you. But fart, you're on your own.
Gordon's comment seems to have touched a nerve as Eric hesitates, then walks on, shaking his head. Now smoke's rising from a tonic cubicle. Eric's inside, smoking. Outside, Jimmy's eating chips when he spots a girl walking along wearing a stripy woolen hat and reading a book.
So who's the new girl? Kind of weird looking, but kind of amazing too. Wow, and she's smiling at me.
My day is complete. Jimmy Grimble. What a nice surprise. Missed you on the way in. How you doing? Sicky boy.
And what better about a kicking from you, thanks?
Jimmy sprints along the road as Gordon, Psycho and two other bullies give chase. Gordon and his friends are catching up when Jimmy takes a left turn. He runs into a building's car parking area that's a dead end. With nowhere left to run, Jimmy heads down some stairs towards a door, but it's locked.
Well. That looks like it could either wash me.
Moments later, two of the thugs are urinating on Jimmy's bag. Eric spots what's going on from the tonic cubicle, but doesn't seem to react. Instead, he takes another drag of his roll-up.
Look! Yeah, Muppet. Next time.
You're in a bad upset, you Muppet.
The bullies slope off. Later, Jimmy's washing his bag in the shower block. Now, he's walking along a corridor when he finds Eric pinning something to a school notice board. Eric looks down at Jimmy's dripping bag.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Eric nods, then wanders off. The sign he's pinned to the notice board reads, School's Cup Team Trials at 4 p.m. today. Once Eric's gone, Jimmy puts down his bag and moves two other papers on the notice board so that they cover up the football trial notice. He stands back and smiles.
Well, if your motor neurons are all cocked up like mine, you've got to reduce the odds a bit, haven't you?
Later, on the school field.
Bingo. Nobody here, just me and the goalpost. Oh, except the cat, of course. The cat, Casper Higgins. Fastest pair of hands in Manchester. Especially if there's a wallet lying around.
The cat picks up some credit cards that have fallen out of his pocket. Now a boy with slicked back hair tries to light a cigarette.
Elvis, midfielder, and 40-a-day smoker. A man in total control.
Gordon spits on Jimmy.
You little shite. Right, anything like that would I notice again. And you, ah.
Look out, Whittle.
You'd be dead.
Later, Grimble.
Right, six aside.
Six aside? I'm on the bloody team. You don't have to be Einstein to work that one out. Well, sub at least. And that's worth getting a face full of gob any day.
Are we ever going to get this sports centre built?
More events. An autumn fair, perhaps. We raised almost £2,000 at the last one.
Rather more than that, I'm afraid.
How much?
90,000. Well,
hey!
I've started ringing round, but angels are hard to find.
Hello? Come here. Oh, what's the matter with? Who's in there? Hello? Never.
What do you want? I'm in a meeting.
See? Empty. Bloody empty. A glow with trophies, that was in my day. You know, a glow with trophies. You know we won the Manchester Schools Cup? Well, we nearly won it, didn't we, Snivler? Yeah. Manchester Schools Cup knocked out in the final, but he got me a try with Crew Alex. Crew Alex, bloody Andrea. Anyway, this afternoon, Snivler phones me up.
Will you just stop?
What's one of those rubbish trucks of yours cost, he says? I said, I don't know. Why? About 100,000. What do you want to know for? And what do you say?
What? I say, perhaps you can renew one less this year.
Bloody funny, eh? Bloody funny. But it got me thinking. How do I run my business? Eh? How do I keep these lads of mine shoveling shite all day?
The headmaster rolls his eyes.
Carrot. Carrot stick, carrot stick, carrot. So here's a bloody big carrot for you. Get through to the finals of the Schools Cup, and I won't just give you a few thousand. I'll give you the lot. The whole bloody lot. 90 grand. How's that?
The headmaster leads the applause, and the governors join in.
So, what's the stick?
There is no stick.
Out on the pitch, Gordon's effortlessly manoeuvring the ball through all of the other players.
The downer about Gorgeous is that the plonker can play football. He really, really can.
Jimmy's in goal.
Yeah, come on, Grimble, come on. Come on, give us a lethal weapon. Terminator. Dead.
Gordon kicks the ball and it smacks Jimmy in the head, knocking him down.
Yes!
It's allowed.
Piss off, Whittle. There's nothing wrong with that goal.
What did you say?
You heard. Anyway, what are we all playing poxy six aside for? There's only 12 of us. We're all on the team, aren't we?
Not are we. And I'm not having players with your sort of attitude. Right, I'm sending you off. Get off the pitch.
Make me.
Get off the pitch.
Make me.
Do you want to go and see the headmaster? Do you?
Not bothered, Whittle.
Right.
Eric walks off.
Was it? Shut it, Grimble.
I didn't say anything.
Shut it.
Next, in the headmaster's office.
You did what?
I bloody told him. I said, you are not on my team. And you know what? It felt really good.
The man who dangled the carrot bursts in. He's Ken Burley, and the other two men stare at him.
What?
Later, outside.
Back on the team, me. Cheers, sir.
The new Michael Owen is, you know. The new Owen.
To Eric.
You've not got kids, have you? Right, Sniveller. Right, son, what do you want for your tea? Get something on the way home, shall we?
Marnie is the best player we've got. We've all got to be practical these days, Eric.
Shades of grey.
So, who are we up against first round?
Wreckingham.
Wreckingham, walk in a park.
Laura, we're running a park with Rottweilers.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue.
Jimmy's walking home with his jumper covering his head. He looks up at the girl in the woolly hat, Sarah.
What's your name?
Jimmy.
Jimmy what?
Jimmy Grumble.
Nice underwear, Jimmy. That's a good look.
Jimmy untucks his jumper from his boxers and runs off.
Not for D. Not B. D. D for friggin' disaster.
Mom, guess what? Mom.
No, I told you 10 minutes, not Jimmy. 5 minutes at all.
Buddy.
Right.
Great to see you, kid. Listen, your mum's gonna help us out in the night shift.
Yeah, you go on home, love.
So, go and get yourself some chips, eh?
It's 1.50 with a drink.
Piss off.
Jimmy turns to his mum.
I just wanted to...
No, I've told you. Listen, I've just said you're at the bottom of the road, so you better hurry up.
Donna waves at Jimmy as he wanders off again.
All right.
Once Jimmy's gone, Donna's boss strolls round into the cage where she's working. He comes to stand behind her, wipes his hands on the backs of his trousers, then leans forwards onto the back of her chair.
You all right?
Oh, yeah.
Night owl.
Jimmy's making his way home down a nighttime street in the pouring rain. Hearing voices behind a fence, he pauses to listen. Suddenly, a gate bursts open and Gordon and Psycho emerge.
Wimple, that's the win. Yeah, the fancy of this. Get here!
Go on, get in, Gordon! Don't let him get away!
Get here!
Keep hold of him!
Jimmy runs off, with Psycho and Gordon in hot pursuit.
Get him!
He ducks into an alleyway.
Where is he?
Gordon and Psycho run past.
Where is he?
Jimmy emerges from the alley.
In here! Come on!
The Addy's here, back here! Get away! Come on! The Addy's getting off! He's getting off!
The elderly grey-haired woman from earlier ushers Jimmy into a darkened building.
Down here!
Jimmy follows her through a door just as Gordon and Psycho arrive.
He's not there!
Come on!
He heads down into a dingy basement, past a trombone hanging from the ceiling. He glances round at his darkened surroundings in wonder. The room's filled with junk and various bits of paraphernalia. Psycho and Gordon kick a door open. The elderly woman's kneeling by a fire.
I best be off. Well, thanks for your help, eh?
He startles himself by knocking into an empty birdcage. Then he spots an old pair of brown leather football boots hanging up by their laces. Jimmy half glances behind him, then continues to stare at the boots. As he takes a step closer to them, the old woman taps him on the shoulder.
I've been thinking. You're the one that's been playing outside, aren't you? Right, little wizard with a ball.
Sometimes.
Only sometimes.
I've been reading this book. It's me motor neurons. They're too active.
Oh, that's it, is it? You better have those.
She points at the boots.
It's all right. I've got a pair, thanks.
Not like those. Those are special.
How's that, then? Be magic or something?
The old woman glances at them.
Magic.
Later, Jimmy's walking home, swinging the boots by their laces.
Magic boots. Brilliant. Just what I need.
He tosses them into a rubbish skip and strides off. The street lamp above the skip goes out. Jimmy looks around, then runs off down the road. Now he's trudging up the stairs to his flat.
I just want to know you're both all right, that's all.
Why, I'm all right.
Harry, me mum's ex-fella.
Blue moon.
Jimmy remembers him and his mum waiting in an elegant foyer as Harry walks towards them. Jimmy gestures for his mum to go over to him. Without a
dream in my heart. Works in removals. He certainly took my mum's heart away. Without a love of my own. He's got that kind of smile that can get anyone to do anything. Even support Man City. Blue
moon. Programme, official programme.
Hiya, bub.
Who's that? Harry? There you go, mate.
No, I'm gonna need two today.
Oh. There you go, mate. Good.
Cheers. You know, Bob here hasn't missed a game in 40 years.
I've never seen him score yet.
Adios.
Program!
Bob's blind. Harry and Jimmy head up the steps and Jimmy gets his first view of the enormous football pitch far below. He smiles, looking overwhelmed. Now they're in the club shop. Harry comes over to him holding a Manchester City backpack. He smiles and hands it to Jimmy.
Go on. I think blue's going to be your colour. Go on. Luke, I won't tell her you asked for it. I'll tell her you begged for it.
He cared about me and my mum. He really did. There was only one problem.
A blonde woman's hammering at their front door in the pouring rain. Jimmy opens it, and the woman looks in to see Harry and Donna putting their clothes on.
He was already married.
Donna slaps him. Back in the present.
We're fine, so you can go on back to your wife, can't you?
Donna. Not found someone else, have you?
What if I have? You're not jealous, Harry?
No.
Donna goes inside, shutting the door in his face. As Jimmy cowers behind a corner, Harry turns and starts hitting his bunch of flowers against the railings. Then he kneels down to clear up the mess he's made. As he does so, he spots Jimmy's feet poking out from round the corner. Harry gets up and heads over to him.
Jimmy. All right, kid. What season, eh? You been going much?
No, I'm late.
Jimmy.
Yeah?
Just a... Nothing, just...
Just sorry again or something?
No.
Jimmy goes inside and shuts the door. Now it's daytime, and Jimmy's bounding down an outdoor stairwell. He spots three girls go over to Sarah nearby.
Ooh, it's the vampire. Heard we got a vampire moved in. You are a vampire, aren't you?
Me? No, I'm a pugilist.
Oh, yeah? What's pugilists do? Fly around biting people?
No. I suppose I could show you if you want.
Oh, yeah? Go on, then.
Sarah punches the girl in the face.
You want some as well?
Jimmy grins as he watches Sarah turn and stride off.
I'm in love. In love with a pugilist. I don't even know what one is.
At the school gates.
Here we go. First round. Reckingham. Sub. Jay Grimble. Something Gordon doesn't look too chuffed about.
Sub A Grimble.
Two of them pin Jimmy up against the fence and Gordon opens up his backpack.
Let's have a look what we've got in here then.
Oh, get off! Oh, not my boots!
Nice boots, Jimmy. Oh. You know what I say about boots? No boots.
No glory. Oh.
He tosses them straight into a passing rubbish lorry. Then he and his mates walk off. Jimmy turns round to see the bin lorry disappearing off down the street. Now he's running as fast as he can down a cobbled back street. Meanwhile, a blue minivan turns up outside the school, driven by Eric. The headmaster and Ken Burley go over.
Right, all set. I've got a meeting, but I'll
try. Right, where are we off to? The Duke of York?
Ken. One of the lads.
All right, yeah, I'm sorry. It's all right, lads. We'll go back a long way, mate, Snivlo.
Jimmy's reached the skip from the night before. He clambers up into it and starts kicking through the rubbish until he finds the old brown leather football boots he slung in.
Lee, come on.
Get off seven seats, you fat slob. Where's Jimmy?
Oh, that's a major tragedy, that is, sir. Poor kid lost his boots.
Jimmy's herring back up the road.
Come on, hey, what's the hold-up?
No sub.
No sub?
So you play short, don't you? Keep the team on its toes. That's something I learned at crew.
Yeah, you've got a real pro here, Eric.
No sub against Reckinger, mate. Absolutely fine.
Jimmy's only yards away when he sees the minibus pull off in a splutter of exhaust fumes. Suddenly, he slams his old boots up against the windscreen in front of Eric. Eric stops the van and Jimmy holds up the boots triumphantly, then climbs aboard. Now, Gordon's looking at the boots.
Let's get these, Jim. Skip.
Yeah, and I'll have them back.
Your boots piss on me.
Water spilled from the boots onto Gordon's trousers.
You smiling at?
Freddy Krueger has nightmares about your man.
Reckingham, lads. Oh, Manchester. Oh, Manchester. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, Manchester is wonderful, it's full of cheers,
spice and gravy. Oh, Manchester is wonderful. In the changing rooms, Elvis takes a long drag of his cigarette. Eric comes over.
Put it out. Just put it out.
Just finish
now. Right, brick, crane, defence. Crane, I want you to come up for free kicks and corners, all right?
One of the lads trips Eric up.
Psycho. Sweeper. Elvis. Striker.
What? I'm striker round here, mate.
Oh, come on, I need a Beckham.
Beckham, nah. Yorkie, me.
Guess what? Yorkie's black.
All right. But I'm not being Beckham all the time, so I've got blonde hair. Anyway. He's a slaphead now.
This is an air clinic or a football team.
Look, I don't mind being Gazza.
Yeah, right, Gazza in midfield, sorted. But whatever, I'm striker. All right.
Gordon gets up and walks over to Eric, towering above him.
Trouble with you? You've got no bollocks.
Stop it, lads.
Outside, Jimmy's crouching down, doing up his boots. Eric slides open the van door and turns to watch the match.
Reckingham by name, Reckingham by nature. The sort of place that makes you happy to be a sub.
The ref's having to pull a Reckingham boy off Elvis. Jimmy stands by the van watching. Gordon dribbles the ball past opposing players, then shoots at goal.
And gorgeous work. Oh, yes, goals!
Jimmy turns to look at Eric. He's in the van, smoking and reading a paper.
Bang! Bet you're glad you never put me midfield now, eh, Whittle?
Yes! Come on! Not clever to score against Reckingham, gorgeous. When two jobs
go home, the match continues with Psycho exchanging headbutts and punches with the opposing players. It soon deteriorates into a muddy battleground, with the Reckingham lads laying into him. Eventually, the ref pulls them off and grabs hold of Psycho. The game resumes with opposing players fighting all around the pitch. The ref blows his whistle and tries to prise two lads apart, but they're so caught up in their fight that he eventually gives up and walks off. Meanwhile, Eric's still engrossed in his newspaper. He takes a puff of his roll-up, then glances over at the pitch with a look of indifference. Jimmy rubs his hands together.
Still, 1-0 up at the half, and the worst thing that's happened so far is that I've got a bit chilly.
The boys run off the pitch. Jimmy turns to look at Eric. As two lads come past, one punches the other.
Hey, is this gladiators of football?
You what? Who's left round here?
Hey?
Back off, pal.
The ref glares at Eric, then heads off.
Let's stop it!
Eric notices Jimmy staring at him.
You got me. I don't give a bollocks. You happy now?
The second half begins.
Second half. Time for a Reckingham comeback.
The ball's headed from one Reckingham player to another until the ref finally heads it into the goal.
Ref, you can't do that.
Rebound off the ref! You know the rules, son! You know the rules!
Goal, sir.
Excellent.
Not us. The ref.
Eric barely looks up from his paper, but Jimmy's looking distraught. The ref sets the ball for kickoff. Gordon starts to run with it, but then he's fouled. He gets booted between the legs and turns over in agony. Then he limps off the pitch, clutching his groin in obvious pain.
What that you were saying about bollocks, son?
Go and get an hot bath.
Right. You're on.
What?
Ease off. You're on.
Jimmy looks terrified. Eric wanders back over to the van. Now, Jimmy's on the pitch.
What a debut. Jimmy Grimble versus the psychopaths. Jimmy Grimble, the last line of defence. Jimmy Grimble, cacking his pants.
Psycho's laying into one of the opposing team. The ball lands at the feet of a burly Reckingham lad who starts to run with it down the pitch. Jimmy's waiting at the other end, his kit still pristine and mud-free. The Reckingham goalie answers his mobile. Jimmy watches the pack running towards him across the muddy ground, splashing through puddles as they chase the hefty lad dribbling the ball. Jimmy readies himself, jumping up and down nervously on the spot as the moment of impact draws nearer. The burly lad's getting closer and closer.
Bollocks to it.
The ball lands at Jimmy's feet and he gives it a hefty kick, sending it flying over the heads of all the players while he sprawls backwards into the mud. The ball climbs higher and higher into the air. Even Eric gets up to watch it. It sails right the way down the pitch and into the Reckingham goal, past the goalie, who's still on his mobile.
Yes!
The others congratulate Jimmy. The minivan driving back at dusk. Now Jimmy's at the dilapidated building.
This is Gunnar! It's me, Jimmy!
You scored, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, actually. It was like one shot, whack right in the back of the net, from miles off. You should have seen it.
Wish I had. You'll have to ask me along next time. Just joking.
Jimmy grins, and the old woman smiles back at him. Later.
I told you you'd be all right in them boots.
Yeah. Listen. It's not really something special about them, is there?
She looks back at him.
It was somebody who owned them, weren't it?
Yes.
You played for someone, didn't you?
They did.
So who did you play for?
City.
Man City? Never. What was his name?
Robbie Brewer.
Jimmy mouths the name. Now he's looking through old team lists.
Peter Barnes, Colin Bell, Tommy Booth. All there, but no Robbie Brewer.
In his bedroom, he throws the Man City book to one side, then leans forward on his bed and picks up the old boots. He stares at them, turning them over in his hands. He gets off his bed and goes to answer the front door. It's Johnny.
Hello, Jamie. Give us an hand.
You moving in?
That's right. I'm your new dad.
Johnny strides past him. Now he's setting out bottles of aftershave in the bathroom.
Keep your mitts off these, because they're expensive, right? You and me, though. Best mates, eh?
Is he talking to me or the aftershave?
Now Jimmy's walking to school with the boots hanging from the back of his rucksack. Sarah comes over.
Heard about these?
Oh, think of a few slices short wearing them, do you?
No. Takes guts to wear something as stupid as that.
Thanks. So, do you like football then?
Nah.
Not even the Premiership?
No.
What about the Champions League?
No.
You must like the World Cup.
No!
So what do you like?
You sure you want to know? Pugilist. You see, that's what they used to call a boxer. Died in the ring, he did. He's only 21.
They're looking at a gravestone.
Why'd you come here? I mean, everyone's dead.
And what? You learn all sorts of stuff. Come on, I'll show you.
They get up and set off through the graveyard, Sarah leading the way to another much larger headstone.
He went up like a rocket. Snapped his neck. They haven't missed sometimes, you know. Whirlwinds. Have you ever thought how you were going to go?
I haven't, actually.
Hey, you don't think I'm barking, do you?
Me? No, of course not. Anyway, I'll know I'm in the magic boots.
I bet you didn't like stepping on the cracks when you were little.
Still don't.
So, these boots, who do they belong to?
Robbie Brewer. I'm trying to find him.
Robbie Brewer? I know Robbie Brewer.
Another gravestone.
Here you are, Robbie Brewer.
No, that can't be him. This Robbie Brewer. He used to play for City.
He played for City? Well, what did they say up the ground?
Oh, of course. I'm an idiot, aren't I?
What are you doing today?
Oh, gonna watch Star Trek, aren't I? It's one of the Klingons getting up the arse big style.
Not you.
I need to go up to Main Road.
What, see them losers play?
Yes, you can take him.
Me?
Yeah.
Donna hands him some money.
All right, is that 50?
She takes some more money out of her purse. Jimmy eyes Johnny dubiously.
See ya.
City!
Johnny sticks the money in his mouth and tries to do a cool move with some martial art nunchucks, but ends up hurting himself. Jimmy laughs. Now they're both on their way to the match.
Fancy a bevy?
We'll be late.
Just a quick one.
What, I need to go and have somebody at the shop.
Want a Coke? You're on time, please, love.
A man grabs Johnny's arm.
I'll take that. And if I don't have the rest by next week, I'll be down for debate.
The thugs take the 50 quid and leave. Now Johnny and Jimmy are outside the pub.
So why didn't you come through him?
Couldn't, could I? I would have killed him.
Have you got any more money then?
Johnny just looks at him.
Come on.
At the stadium, Harry goes up to Bob, the blind programme seller.
Programme. Initial programme.
Hiya, Bob.
Harry, hey, two today?
No, just the one. See you.
Programme.
The headmaster goes into the boys' toilets at school.
Eric? Eric?
Eric emerges from a cubicle.
Round two, we're playing Northmore.
Northmore.
Won the cup a few times, haven't they?
Yeah, seven.
Bit like playing Brazil then, is it?
Yeah.
Come on, Eric. You are thinking walls, aren't you?
Bars, actually.
Jimmy's wandering through the playground.
Jimmy, did you find that Robbie Brewer?
No, but I was thinking about going down Main Road now. You know, see what I can find out.
All right. Well, I'm not doing anything if you want me to come.
Sure, would you? That'd be great.
He spots Gordon with his girlfriend, the one Sarah punched nearby.
Let's go.
No, let's stay.
Sarah stares at them as they come over.
Hi, Jimmy. Now you two little muppets were pulling tongue. So that right, Jim? You in the puggle?
Yeah, it is. Isn't it?
Are you going with her, Jimmy? You pathetic little rat boy.
Sarah looks at Jimmy, urging him to say something.
Don't ignore me, Jim. You're too ugly to get a beard. Look at the state of you.
Sarah kisses him.
Ew. Got a license for that or what? So that right, Jim? You two weirds really an item. Wait till I tell the lads about this one, Romeo. So, Jimmy, he in love or what?
No.
Thought not. You little muppet.
Jimmy turns and walks away, leaving Sarah staring after him and shaking her head with disappointment. Now Jimmy's walking through the terraced streets of Manchester, past kids knocking a ball about. He heads over to the deserted city stadium, where a caretaker is sweeping up by some main gates. Jimmy walks over to him.
Excuse me. I'm just trying to find out about someone who used to play for City.
It's not me you want to be asking, I just work here. Man you till I die, me. Hey, there is a fella. See the house over there, number 70? Ask him, he'll know.
Thanks.
The caretaker shuts the doors and Jimmy goes over to the terraced house. He steps back, waiting for someone to answer. When the door opens, Eric comes out.
Jimmy. Sorry, sir. Must have got the wrong house. Bloke over there said there was somebody here who knew all about City.
Yeah, there is.
Can I talk to him, please?
You are talking to him. Might have a coke or something.
Thanks.
While Eric goes to root around in the fridge, Jimmy stares round the untidy living room that's filled with City paraphernalia. He turns to look at a wall. It's covered in framed black and white photos of City games and newspaper clippings. Eric hands him a Coke.
So, what can I do for you?
Robbie Brewer. You never did play for City, did you?
Robbie Brewer? No, never heard of him.
Jimmy nods thoughtfully.
Is that you?
He goes over to a photo on the wall.
Yes, me.
It's a black and white photo of Eric playing football.
You in a City strip?
I
That's because I used to play for them.
Eric turns back to the wall, gobsmacked.
Them and a couple of others. Stourbridge Celtic, as it happens.
You played for City?
2 years, striker.
You was a striker?
12 goals in my debut season. Got an hat-trick against United. Not bad, eh?
It's not bad. What happened?
That didn't work out.
Why didn't you say something at school?
Nah.
People would listen to you then.
Listen to you then? What, you think it's all about inspiring people, do you? Well, it's not. You gotta want to learn. Kids like Gordon Burley, they don't want to learn, do they? They don't want to learn anything.
I get it. So we've all got to suffer because of him. It's just like usual, then.
Ah, there's more to life than football, you know.
Jimmy gives a slight nod, and they both stare at the photo.
Oh, what do you want me to say? That everything else is as good as that? Of course it's not. Because the truth is that once you've done something like that...
Eric shakes his head sadly.
It takes the sunlight off everything. Puts it all in the shade.
Now, Eric's seeing Jimmy out.
Thanks, sir.
Jimmy stares over at the darkened stadium.
Finals for the school cup. They're always played dead, aren't they?
Yeah.
Jimmy turns to look at him.
Don't you want other people to have what you had? Second round, Northmoor. Look at it. What hope have us bunch of chances got? We were gonna be done.
Everyone piles out of the minivan and heads over to the impressive grey stone building that's set in expansive grounds. Ken Burley and the headmaster are waiting for them.
Right, lads. Gather round. Difficult game today. Good team, this.
Here he is. The next Ryan Giggs. You like Giggsy?
Difficult game today, lads. A good team, this one.
Yeah, yeah. How about letting Ken give the pep talk? I mean, he was a pro, and we're going to need all the help we can get with them walls, aren't we?
Sorry.
All right, shut your gob. Come here. Being very generous. Just pin your goals back. I'm going to give you the benefit of my experience now.
Right. Ken Burley's tactics were simple.
Give it to Buddy Gordon! Give it to Buddy Gordon! Come on! The Gordon! What's the matter with you? Come on! Give it to Gordon! Come on!
The opposition get the ball.
Get him, come out! Pull out! What's the matter with you? Right, come on! Pull up! Pull up!
Jimmy makes a tackle.
Gordon! Gordon! Go on, give it him! Come on! Give it to bloody Gordon!
Jimmy and Gordon lose the ball to the opposition.
Give it! Don't you listen to anything, I tell you! Right, go on, that's it! Come on! Go on, give it to Gordon! Come on, pull up! Get it over! Oh, son, come on! What's the matter with you? Come on! Hey, Marco, Marco, pull out! Go! Come on, get back! Right, come on! Go!
Northmoor score.
Don't you listen to anything! Come on! Oh! He's gonna give it to Gordon!
Jimmy's sorting out his boots.
I was playing boots like that. Keeper for United.
Ever play sitter?
Yeah, once.
Listen, you idiot, don't try being clever with me. When I say get rid, get rid!
Eric Whittle, remember me? Pete Drake. Scored that hat against me in 79, remember? City's answer to George Best. He was as good as he guessed this was.
Hey, I was a pro too, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Crew Alex.
Oh. So what are you doing here, Eric? Are you kid playing or what?
No, he's our coach.
Oh? Thought he was your coach.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Eric smiles at the cat, while Ken Burley looks disgruntled. As the second half begins, Eric's on the sidelines.
Shankle, cover up, Shankle, cover up! Come on, Gordon! Nice tackle, son! Nice tackle!
Eric paces up and down the sidelines, getting more and more involved in the game. Now Jimmy's got the ball. He runs with it, then passes. Jimmy gets into position near the goal. The ball's passed to him, and he shoots. It goes over the keeper and straight into the back of the net. Eric punches the air with delight while the cat forms backflips. Jimmy leaps into the cat's arms. Now the opposition have a shot at goal, but the cat easily saves the ball and throws it straight out to Jimmy, who sets off down the pitch, dribbling expertly past the Northmoor boys. Eric holds his breath as Jimmy dribbles effortlessly past player after player, closing in on goal.
Taking his shot, Jimmy!
Yes! He's scored again. Eric goes to hug the headmaster while Jimmy runs to be congratulated by his teammates. Later, as the sun's setting and Jimmy's coming off the pitch.
Hey, Jimmy. You wouldn't have to know why that bloke recognised me after all them years, do you?
Eric grins.
When you beat the Brazil of the North, the rest is cruising.
Another match on a misty pitch, and Jimmy's in control of the ball again, leaving Gordon for dust.
Rodale, pants. He snuck on an extra man at half time, but we still stuff him. Cricket score.
Eric marks up the score sheet, and Jimmy kicks the ball into the back of the net again. Now Eric comes to note down the latest match scores on the notice board at school.
Gainsborough, yes, my first hat-trick. St. Luke's. St. Who? The cat lifts the linesman's credit card. Psycho gets a red card for waving his dick at the ref.
Another goal is scored.
So here we go, cruising through to the semis. And I'd like to make it sound hard, but with those boots on my feet, I just can't miss a thing. Well, almost nothing.
He watches Sarah walking away across the grass by herself. Now the team are heading back over to the minivan after a match, while a deflated Gordon goes over to his dad's car. It's pelting down with rain. He trudges round to the back of the car and gets in.
Yeah, Jimmy. Licking them boots of yours could get us a shag with Melanie Morrison.
Take more than these boots to get Melanie Morrison in an ugly tosser like you.
You feisty little sod.
Psycho fights with him playfully. Now the van's lurching down the road. Finally, it gives up, and they roll to a halt.
Oh, smash. Little motor this is, isn't it?
Eric pulls on the handbrake. Now he opens up the bonnet and peers inside while Jimmy wanders around behind him. After a moment, Eric closes the bonnet. He gets back into the van and tries to start it up again. Jimmy watches from outside, then unhooks his boots from the back of his rucksack.
May as well try, you know.
He gently knocks the van with them. He taps the side of the van again. He keeps tapping hopefully, and as if by magic, some headlights pull up in the dark behind him. Eric's all but given up on the van. Then Jimmy turns to see Harry walking towards him from a lorry.
Jimmy,
Jimmy goes over to him.
All right, kid.
Harry punches him playfully, and Jimmy punches him back. Then Harry waves at Eric.
All right.
Harry starts to play fight again. Now the lads are in the back of Harry's removal lorry, speeding down a road. Psycho's playing a piano. Elvis hands him his cigarette and Psycho puts it in his mouth, then carries on playing. Jimmy's sitting in the front between Harry and Eric, touching his boots thoughtfully.
So how do you two know each other then?
We used to play football together.
He used to be going out with my mum. Mr. Whittle used to play for City.
Harry glances over at Eric with interest.
Eric Whittle.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, Eric Whittle. You all right? Bloody hell.
In the cab office...
Night Owl. 30 minutes, yeah? All right, love. Bye.
Colin, the boss, is slumped on a couch behind Donna, slowly getting drunk on whiskey. Elsewhere, Harry opens the back of his lorry and the boys jump out.
Well done, lads.
Thanks, sir.
Listen, thanks for the lift.
Sound. Look, I'd just like to say I was at that match and it never looked like what they said it was.
Yeah. Thanks for the lift.
See you.
See you, Jim.
Yeah. See you, sir.
Eric heads off down the road, and Harry's lorry sets off through the nighttime streets again. Back at the cab office, Colin gets up from the red leather couch, stumbling drunkenly as he does so. He staggers towards Donna, who has her back to him as she sits working at the desk. He comes right up behind her and puts his hand on her shoulder.
Colin!
As Harry and Jimmy get out of the lorry, Colin pins Donna up against the cage.
Colin, get off me.
I've seen you.
Get off me! Get off me!
Don!
She runs out of the office to find Harry and Jimmy outside. She stares at them in amazement.
Harry, get me out of here.
Now the lorry's speeding through nighttime streets once more. In the front, Jimmy takes his mum's hand and holds it tightly. Harry glances over at Donna, who's staring thoughtfully into space. He turns his eyes back to the road.
I'll walk you up.
We'll be all right.
Harry walks down the road with them.
Honestly, I'll be fine.
I know.
Thanks anyway.
You all right?
Yeah, we're okay.
Jimmy stands between them, looking first at one, and then the other, sadly.
I've missed you.
Jimmy looks like he's on the verge of tears. They all turn to see Johnny striding towards them.
Aye, aye. What's going on here, Danny?
Nothing. Just giving her a ride home.
Good. Piss off now then, can't you?
Johnny?
No, you're all right, Donna. I'm going.
So where was he giving you a ride from then, eh?
What's it to you?
No one's talking to you.
Oh, stop it.
Hey, hey. Easy. She's had a bit of a rough time.
On your way. I'm done with you.
Now listen.
No, you listen. Who the hell are you, anyway?
I'm just an old friend.
Oh, I know you. You're that nice fella that was cheating on his wife. Well, let me tell you something, pal. This is a family now. My family.
Your family?
Yeah, my family. I'm the one that keeps that big smile on her face. That's my fiancé.
Everyone looks shocked. Johnny holds up his hand and pointedly waves bye-bye to Harry, who slowly walks off towards his lorry. Donna and Jimmy turn to watch him go, and he glances back at them briefly. Then Donna looks sharply at Johnny, who shifts uneasily.
Did you mean that?
Of course.
Now, Jimmy's lying in bed. Donna comes to stand in the doorway and smiles at him. She pauses for a moment, then goes over to perch on the edge of the bed beside him.
I don't want you to marry him.
Jimmy.
Yeah, well, I don't.
Well, look, I haven't made my mind up yet. It's nice to be asked, you know.
He turns away from her, and she takes hold of his hand and shakes it playfully. Now, Eric comes to stand by the notice board in the school corridor. He smiles at Jimmy as he walks past him.
So, two dogs and a free transfer to Grimble City. Robbie Brewer, who turns out to be the non-existent footballer from nowhere. And Sarah, still giving me the red card. Leaving just one thing to look forward to. The semis.
Coming to semi-final?
I can't make it on Saturday. Besides, I don't like football. Why, do you think we stand a chance?
I don't know. But maybe you've got to keep on trying if you really want something. What do you think?
Eric leaves Sarah staring thoughtfully at the newspaper clipping of Jimmy. Now, Jimmy's on the football pitch again, expertly manoeuvring the ball through the opposing players. He passes to Gordon, who shoots a goal, but the goalie saves it.
And I tell you, these boots, look here, magic, or what? I just can't do a thing without them.
Jimmy shoots and scores, to Gordon's annoyance.
You're unbelievable.
Ken's watching from the sidelines. He spots a man standing at the top of a grassy slope behind him and sets off towards him.
Hey, what's he up to now?
Ken stumbles on the grassy verge, falling flat on his face, much to the headmaster and Eric's amusement. He scrambles to his feet again.
United scout. They always show around now.
Ken goes to join the scout. On the pitch, Gordon's got the ball.
So what do you think of the lad up front?
Well, your son, you mean? Well, actually, he's not too bad. That Grimble lad. He's really got something about him. Still, I've got my eye on a few this season.
Suddenly, he spots Eric.
What do you have? Yeah, that's never Eric Wirral, is he?
Ken looks put out as the scout tucks his notepad away. On the pitch, the boys all leap for a header, but Jimmy's head and shoulders above them all.
You're unbelievable!
He reaches the ball and heads it into the goal. Now, he's walking home in the dark.
2-0. For the second time in history, Grenica through to the finals at Main Road. And there's only one person who really knows what it means for me to play there.
Harry's sitting in his living room in the dark. His wife arrives home.
What are you sitting in the dark for?
She takes off her jacket and hangs it up, then goes to stand in front of Harry. She looks at him, waiting for him to say something, and he stares back at her grimly.
You're still seeing him, aren't you?
She looks uncomfortable.
It's all right. Really.
What do you mean?
It's not working, is it?
No. It isn't.
He gets up.
It's all right.
They hug in front of a flickering fire. Meanwhile, Jimmy comes to stand outside their window in the dark. He stares in at them embracing and watches Harry kiss his wife tenderly on the head. After a moment, he turns and walks solemnly back down the driveway, a few flakes of snow fluttering to the ground behind him. He arrives back home to find a lingerie party in full swing in the living room. The women all look up at him in various states of undress. Shifting uncomfortably, Jimmy quickly heads off to his bedroom.
Oh, Jimbo. Sorry. Just I can't go in there, can I? Like a red rag to a bull.
Jimmy shuts the door.
Jimmy!
No, I'm sorry, love, but... You know, you can make a lot of money selling this stuff. What's up, love?
Where'd you get this one, then?
Jimmy turns and walks out.
Jimmy.
Now he's in the old woman's basement. They're both sitting in front of a fire.
Everybody says there was no Robbie Brewer.
They do? Do they? We lost touch. Long time ago.
Why?
He thought I lied to him.
And had you?
Yes. He had this illness, see. And if he really knew what it was, he would have fretted and worried, and it would have made it worse. So I kept it from him. Because I think...
She lights a cigarette.
Sometimes, just sometimes, it's better to tell someone a white lie than the truth.
She takes a puff on her cigarette, then looks at Jimmy.
You know, Jimmy?
And I nod. But I don't really know.
She's looking at him intently.
Look, I've been thinking. Why don't you come see me play tomorrow at Main Road?
What would your friend say?
Oh. Well, you'll just have to hide if you see anyone.
Donna's packing Jimmy's footy stuff. Johnny.
Pissy.
Tell you about the,
snow. Heaters.
Donna hands him his bag. Jimmy slings it over his shoulder and heads out.
Jimmy, wait a minute.
She gives him a quick, awkward hug.
Mum, I love you.
Oh, no. Go on, piss off.
He turns and walks out.
Jimmy.
He looks back at his mum.
I love you too, you know.
See you then, mum.
He smiles and heads out the front door. On the walkway outside his flat, he looks over the railings to see Sarah heading along the balcony on the floor below, wrapped up warm against the cold.
Sarah. What are you up to?
Nothing. Thought I might go up Main Road later.
Thought I didn't like football.
Maybe I should give it one last try.
They smile at each other, then Sarah walks off and Jimmy nods happily to himself. Now he clambers through some fence boarding to take his usual shortcut down the old woman's run-down street. He looks up to see a wrecking ball about to swing into action on the dilapidated terraces.
Stop! Stop! There's somebody in there! There's an old lady in there! Stop! 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 There's an old lady in there!
Jimmy quickly runs round to the back of the buildings. He sees a trail of footsteps in the snow leading from the old woman's house. He pauses for a moment, then follows them. two workmen in orange overalls round the corner a short distance behind him. A little way down the road, Jimmy stops and looks down at the ground. Then he sets off again, following the footprints in the snow. The workmen are running behind him. Jimmy's running down the road, then stops suddenly. The two workmen catch up with him, and all three of them stare down at the old woman, who's lying on the ground motionless and covered in snow. Jimmy just stares down at her in horror. She's lying on the remains of some mattress springs, wrapped up in a snow-covered blanket. Slowly, Jimmy lets the old football boots slip from his hand and fall to the ground. They plunge into the light dusting of snow. Unable to tear his eyes away from the old woman, Jimmy swallows hard. The three of them remain standing in the snow, staring down at the frail body of the old woman. Now Ken's taking his seat in the Man City Stadium.
Very good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to May Road for the big match today, the final of the Manchester Schools Cup. And although it may not be a capacity crowd for Man City, we're more than delighted to open up the main stand, blocks G and H, for the family and friends of these two teams, Greenock High School and Huntington Comprehensive.
Ken's seen Eric talking to the Man United scout. Jimmy arrives in the changing rooms. Jimmy slowly walks round to get changed.
What's the point? She's dead. The old woman that gave me the boots. Boots that made me play like my feet were on fire. Dead.
Johnny's waiting by his motorbike outside Donna's tenement block. She walks slowly over to him, and they stand looking at each other for a moment.
You know, I think I'll get the bus.
Johnny nods.
You don't like bikes, do you?
Not much.
Johnny smiles.
See you there, then.
She walks round the bike and off down the snow-covered path. Johnny turns to watch her go. As he turns round again, he sees a young blonde, Gordon's girlfriend, heading towards him from the other direction. He smiles at her, and she comes right over to him.
Hiya. You're not going to Main Road, are you?
Yeah. Right. Let's get you the helmet.
As Donna's heading under an archway, she stops and opens up her purse to look inside. It's empty. So she closes it again and looks back the way she came. Johnny's in her flat with the blonde.
Sensei. See our focus, my energy. It's my fingertips. Can you feel them getting warmer?
He's stroking her breast.
No.
I think you can.
Where's my money, you thieving bastard?
Donna whacks him.
I've been thinking, £90,000 is a lot of money.
Oh, for God's sake, can you agree? All we have to do is reach the finals.
Win the final, I said.
No, you didn't. You bloody didn't. You know damn well what you said. You said as long as we did as well as you had.
We won the final.
Ken, I was there. You didn't.
We did.
You didn't.
We did. Look, Sniveller, here's the bottom line. If you want my money, you do what I say. Understood?
The headmaster shakes his head.
What happened to the carrot, Ken?
I bet it.
Gordon spots Jimmy's boots.
Come on, lads. Yeah, Lee, don't take your shirt off. The family, really.
The headmaster comes into the changing room.
Eric, can I have a word?
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, well, it's Jimmy. All this nonsense about these boots.
Hey?
You know, superstitions in this day and age. Just not healthy.
Oh, come on. You ever walk down the street afraid of stepping on the cracks?
No, I didn't, actually. Look, I just want to say I need you to leave Jimmy on the bench today.
Eric shakes his head in disbelief.
Now, a long time ago, I was stood in this tunnel, about to go out there. And I tell you, there's not much in the world to beat that. And you want me to rob someone of it? You want me to break that kid's heart? For what? For the school? Or so when Ken Burley's son goes out there in front of some scout, there's no competition?
Oh, come on, Eric, let's be practical. We need that sports hall. It's not for me, is it? It's for them. Shades of grey, remember?
I'm afraid some things are just in black and white. Now, you want Jimmy off. You come and tell him yourself.
Eric strides back into the changing room and goes to stand beside Jimmy. The headmaster comes in after him.
Tell him.
Right then, Jimmy, you're on the bench today.
Have you lost your marbles?
What did you say?
I said, are you off your head?
Any more lip out of you and you'll be there too.
It suits me, man. Because if he's not playing, I'm not playing neither. All right, Jim.
Or me.
You could put me on the bench, you know.
Count me out as well.
Yeah, I'm you.
The headmaster looks uncomfortable.
Looks like this is going to be an interesting match.
The head takes his seat beside Ken in the grandstand.
You all right, Slipper? We're getting it all sorted.
Will you stop calling me that?
All right, keep your head on.
Anyway, it's not sorted. Not in the way that you want. I almost forgot. This is my school. My school. And nobody tells me how to run my school. I've got my team in the final of the Manchester Cup. And having a new sports hall is not gonna better that.
Come on, Greenock!
Yeah, come on!
Gordon comes through a door carrying Jimmy's boots. Back in the changing room.
Right, who's had me boots?
Now, Gordon's under a bridge down by a canal. He chucks the boots into the murky green waters. A short while later, he arrives back in the changing room, where everyone's looking for Jimmy's boots. He comes over to Eric.
All right.
Eric stands up.
What are they?
What?
Where are the boots?
What boots?
Where are the boots?
Listen, I don't know what you're on about.
Gordon takes off his tracksuit, looking sheepish. Now, the shutters go up in the club shop. Jimmy and Eric walk inside.
What size are you?
7.
Eric takes out some boots.
These are tough.
Jimmy just looks at them.
Try them on.
Reluctantly, Jimmy takes hold of the boots.
How much?
$99.99.
Eric pulls out his wallet, while Jimmy goes over to sit down with the boots. He stares at them.
No, I can't. I can't do it. I just can't. Welcome back, motor neurons.
Jimmy.
Donna comes over to him.
Right. Listen, I've got something to tell you.
Eric puts the box down beside Jimmy.
Tommy's not going to be staying with us anymore.
No, you don't get it, do you? I'm losing it. Like I used to. Lost the old lady. Lost me boots. Lost Harry. Couldn't even find Robbie Brewer.
Eric walks away through the empty building.
And even if you had to give 2 dogs the push, I'll only lose you to somebody else I don't want.
Jimmy walks down some steps in his new boots.
Come on, lads. We can beat these scallies.
The two sides file down the tunnel towards the pitch. Greenock are playing in their customary blue and white strip, while the opposition are in red. Heading his team, Jimmy's trying to psych himself up.
Nice shot.
The cat puts a hand on his shoulder.
Let's go.
Come on, Greenit.
Souvenir program.
Harry to Bob.
Souvenir program.
How are you, Bob? How are you?
All right, mate. Got your beer tonight.
Yeah, so.
Harry looks at his program and smiles. On the front, there's a photo of Jimmy kicking the ball. Donna makes her way through the crowds and spots Harry. He turns to look at her.
I just thought I'd come and watch the lad play. You don't mind, do you?
You don't give up, do you?
No.
Where is she then?
It's over.
Since when?
Since the first time I met you.
He's looking at her intently, and after a moment, Donna smiles. Now...
You're going to be all right, Jason. Let's play your own game.
So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Huntington Comprehensive and Greenwood High School.
Harry stands up to point out Jimmy to Donna. Meanwhile, Jimmy trudges despondently onto the pitch. He goes to take up his position, then stares round at the impressive stands surrounding him, three quarters of which are empty, with the crowd all gathered in one area. Eric watches him nervously from the sidelines, and Sarah's clapping enthusiastically amongst the supporters. Elvis immediately passes the ball to Jimmy.
Take it off him!
Jimmy tries to pass to Gordon but misses the mark.
What's that?
Eric's looking increasingly nervous. Jimmy glances over at the Man United scout who's watching the game intently. Now Huntington have got the ball and are heading for the goal. The cat leaps into the air making an incredible save. Donna and Harry glance at each other. Jimmy's got the ball again.
The biggest day of my life. Every pass it goes adrift. Every ball loose. Can't tackle, can't shoot. I'm cack. Cack, just like I used to be.
Come on, Gordon!
Meanwhile, Gordon's on fire. I want it now. In the crowd, Sarah's looking frustrated and Eric's watching anxiously from the sidelines as another pass goes astray. Huntington have got the ball again and are running down the pitch. Jimmy tries to head a cross out of the way but misses and the ball's kicked straight into the back of the net by an unmarked striker. Everyone's glaring angrily at Jimmy. The scoreboard now reads Greenock 0, Huntington 1. Eric folds his arms grimly. The ball's passed to Jimmy, but a Huntington player easily takes it off him and immediately scores another goal. Two-nil flashes on the scoreboard. Eric looks over at a sub.
Take the top off.
The scout consults his programme and Sarah watches Jimmy anxiously as he trudges despondently across the pitch.
Get him off!
The headmaster goes over to Eric. He looks at him.
About earlier, I was out of order.
Eric looks surprised. On the pitch, Huntington are in possession again.
What are you going to do?
Take him off after the half.
The head nods, then walks back over to his seat. Eric sighs heavily, just as the ref blows the half-time whistle.
Yeah!
Two sides file off the pitch.
Come on, lads.
So that leaves us with Huntington 2-0.
Jimmy's the last off the pitch. He passes Eric on his way to the changing room.
Jimmy.
Jimmy ignores him.
Jimmy.
Inside the tunnel, Harry comes down to meet him.
Jimmy. Come on, kid. You make your own luck. You know you do.
Jimmy hangs his head.
Jimmy. Look at me. Look at me standing here. Look at the size I am. And how do you think someone like me gets the ball off of one of them big fellas, eh? Come on, kid. You think you know? You need a bottle. Real bottle. But me, the only way I could ever find that was by necking a bit of it before a match. Just enough vodka to loosen me up. Loosen me up so much one day I come in with a late tackle on Gary Elm. Thought from where I was standing there was nothing to do but bring him down. Thing is, Gary Elm never got up. Gary Elm.
He puts his arm around Jimmy's shoulder.
They stretched Gary off. The break the way it was. He barely walked again, let alone played. Thing is, Jimmy, there's only one thing to rely on when you're out there. That's yourself.
Jimmy turns to look at Harry.
He's right.
But what do they know? What do they know about the boots that gave me not just goals, but everything I've ever wanted in my life?
Luke, come on, kid. Just think about it. Magic boots, just a bit sort of...
No, they are. They're special. They are. Not just for me, for him too.
For who?
Robbie Brewer.
Brewer? Robbie Brewer? Bloody hell, don't sob him. Just give us a minute, will you? Come on.
Harry leads Jimmy off through the building. They run down the empty corridors together. Now they're sitting with the blind programme seller.
I tried to find her a few times. Funny, I thought she might have ended up on the streets.
So this is Robbie Brewer. And the illness is what was making him blind. Robbie Brewer, her son.
I never found out till later. Stress, see? Makes it worse. That's why she never told me. She was doing it for the best.
So she told him a white lie. Something to help him through the bad times. Like the one she told me about some old boots.
Some boots? They weren't some boots, were they?
Boots? Yeah. She bought them for me about... when I was his age. Our made city mascot, see? I think they felt sorry for me, you know.
So there's no magic or anything like that?
Not unless they sell magic boots at Woolworths.
Jimmy thinks to himself.
Now, if the magic's not in my boots, it must be in my feet. And no one's nicked them, that's for sure.
Now, darkness has fallen over the floodlit stadium and Jimmy's back on the pitch. His breath steaming in the cold air. He's excited and raring to go.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right here, right now.
The second half begins, and straight away Jimmy takes possession of the ball from a Huntingdon player. He begins to dribble expertly past more players. He leaves all the other players for dust as he runs down the pitch with the ball. Gordon's running alongside him. But Jimmy keeps the ball himself, twisting and turning past opposing players. Sara watches anxiously from the grandstand. He dribbles into the 18-yard box and shoots.
First goal, scored by number 10, Jimmy Grimble.
Yeah. A goal at Main Road.
The Greenock lads pile on top of Jimmy, and Harry whistles and cheers in the crowd. Boss. Eric claps excitedly, and even Ken Burley's applauding. With the score now 2-1, Jimmy takes control of the ball again. He passes to Gordon. Gordon heads for goal and scores. Kane can barely contain his delight.
The Greenock equaliser scored by number 9, Gordon Burley.
Gordon lies back on the grass, drumming the air and wiggling his hips excitedly. Psycho runs past him.
Try not to be a prat all your life.
Gordon gets back up.
2-0, and I've just seen the full goal with confirmation there's only 1 minute of play left.
Now Huntingdon have got the ball. The cat makes another impressive save.
Go, Gil!
He quickly throws the ball out wide to Jimmy, who takes control of it and sets off down the pitch.
To go, Grimble, 1 minute. Come on.
He's all on his own with the ball.
Come on, come on, come on. Come on, we can do it, come on. Come on, Grimble, go.
That's it to me.
Go on, Jimmy.
Go on.
Go, go, go.
Go on, Jimmy.
That's it.
Gordon's running alongside him, waiting for him to pass it. Jimmy stops the ball.
Jimmy!
Jimmy looks at Gordon, then at the goalie.
Pass it!
The Huntingdon side are bearing down on him.
Yeah!
Give it to Gordon! Go on, give it to bloody Gordon!
And I thought, yeah, why not?
He boots it over to Gordon. In slow motion, it smashes straight into his face and rebounds off, past the diving goalie and into the back of the net.
And an amazing last-minute third goal that takes Greenock into the lead. And that surely must be... Yes! That's the final whistle! Greenock 3, Huntingdon 2!
In the crowd, Ken grabs at the headmaster, and Harry and Donna hug excitedly. Sara gives a satisfied smile. On the pitch, Jimmy jumps up and down, grinning from ear to ear. One of the other players lifts him up, while on the sidelines, Eric raises his arms into the air in triumph. Now Eric's chatting to an elderly man on the side of the pitch. He shakes his hand, then goes over to greet his team. In slow motion, he runs over to Jimmy and lifts him up into the air. Then he puts him down and points at the man he was talking to. Donna hugs her son.
I'm really proud of you.
I love you, boy. I love you.
Now the Greenock lads are running back into the tunnel, holding the trophy aloft. The scouts talking to Gordon and his dad.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Now look, I'm afraid there's only one place on the programme this season, so... Jimmy, how would you like to join us at Man United? Hmm?
What? Him? That's very nice of you, but... Mr. Widows has told me I've got a better offer.
What can be better than Man United, son?
Man City.
The scout gobsmacked.
Casper!
Sort it out, offer him
Jimmy.
Dad.
Hang on,
hang on.
What?
What about my love?
What? No. If I can't have him, I'm having that goalie. He's quite handy. Here.
Psycho plants a smacker on Jimmy's forehead, then runs off past Sarah, who approaches Jimmy.
So you don't mind kissing some people?
Suppose I can kiss you if you want.
I don't want...
No.
No?
I do.
He kisses her on the lips.
So there we are. We've won. I've got the girl and a new dad, all in one day. And that sort of thing, well, it only happens in fairy tales, don't it? Oh, Mr. Whittle, I think we taught each other something. There is more to life than football. Just kidding. Sir.
Eric turns round, and Jimmy bounces the ball over to him. Eric picks it up and grins at him. Jimmy smiles back, nodding slowly. Carefully, Eric places the ball on the penalty spot and takes a few steps back. Then he runs and kicks it straight into the goal past the cat. Everyone cheers, and Eric hairs off across the pitch with the whole of the Greenwich side and Jimmy and Sarah running after him. Above the bright lights of Man City Stadium, a full moon emerges from behind dark clouds.